So to start us out, I wanna let you guys in on something. I am not a pastor. I do not have a seminary degree. I do not have a biblical degree. But what I do have is a passion and zeal for Jesus. And what I'm super, super thankful about for this church is that Pastor Phil gives us an opportunity to share that. And so the enemy was attacking me with this message in the way of, how are you equipped to share when this is something that you struggle with? How are you going to tell people how to do this when this is the thing that you struggle? And so I want to challenge you that I'm walking in this as well as sharing with it. And the things that I've learned while struggling with this, I want to share with you so that we can grow together in Christ. So the title of this message is going to be Thriving in the Mundane. Thriving in the Mundane. So I've had this on my heart for a very long time because this is the thing that I struggle with the most. We get a lot of messages about mountaintop experiences or valley experiences. When we're absolutely on fire for Jesus or when we are in the absolute pits. But where I find myself mostly is in the middle, is in the mundane. And how we can accept and we can push and we can have a passion and zeal for Jesus day in and day out, because that is exactly what he calls us to. He does not call us for anything average. He doesn't call us for mundane and stale and stagnant. He wants something abundant for us. And that's our expectation. And we can have that every single day. Those moments in your lives when you felt so close to the Lord, and you just feel like you and him have this intimate closeness, that can be every second of every day. That's what he wants for us. So I want to go to scripture. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. So I'm reading out of the NIV, and it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." I love how all-encompassing this verse is. There's no wiggle room in here. It says, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. I don't know about you, but that is not calling us to a life of being average, a life of being stagnant or stale. It's calling us to a life of abundance. Do we look and search for that every day? Do we wake up in the morning saying, I want an abundant relationship with Jesus this morning, and I'm not going to settle for anything less? I know that I don't. Oftentimes, I fall into that stale and stagnant lifestyle. So I want to give us ways that we can actually push into that today. But as I was preparing this message and talking to Phil, I was fearful that I would come across legalistic, because how I can easily come across is giving a list of rules that we can do, right? If I do this, 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 and this, then I'll grow in a relationship with Jesus. And while it does take action, it's not a set of rules. It's not legalistic. It takes love. It takes loving the Lord with all of our heart and understanding his love for us. The more that we understand how much he loves us, the more we grow in our relationship and our love for him. He loves us so much that he gave us his only son so that we could have abundant, everlasting life with him. The more that we understand that and the more that we saturate in that, the more we're going to want to grow in that passion, in that zeal. I don't want us to feel bad either. The enemy's going to try to make you feel guilty when you're in that rut, when you're in the staleness, the mundane. Why don't you have the passion that that person has? Why do you look different? Why do you not feel anything during this moment? Why aren't you constantly living in this passion? He's going to want to make you feel guilty, and that's not what this is about. Relationships with the Lord is much like our relationships here on earth. They ebb and they flow. But what we want to do is set ourselves up well to grow in our relationship with Jesus, to have a constant fire for him. So I have 3 points for us today, okay? I'm pretty simple and I'm pretty one-tracked. So it's gonna flow pretty well with the 1, 2, 3. So our first point is going to be preparation. So we need to set ourselves up well in these times that we can actually thrive in the mundane. So preparing for those moments is what is going to set us up very well. And I don't want to say that we're just setting ourselves up well for like times of difficulty. These are things and practical things that we can do day in and day out to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. So preparation. And in that, I have a story for you. the Lord has taught me many things in my life, especially through my failures. And there's an abundance of those, so I get to share that with y'all, and I'm thankful for those experiences. But this one was in high school, and me and my buddies had a fascination with fire, okay? My mom's going to listen to this, and she thinks that I've been a pyro since I was a little kid. Not a pyro, but I did love fire. Still do love fire. So how many people in here have seen a Christmas tree go up in flames? Yeah. So it's outrageous, right? It goes up quickly, and it burns brightly. Well, I wasn't satisfied with one Christmas tree. I wanted all the Christmas trees. So me and my buddies accumulated 100 Christmas trees, okay? And we were going to burn these suckers all at one time. We had 5 trucks and trailers going down the road with Christmas trees. And I want to tell you this, too. I did not grow up in the country. I grew up in the suburbs, okay? There's not an abundance of areas to burn 100 Christmas trees. But we said, no problem. We're going to burn these things. So we piled all these things up, and we lit it on fire, and it goes up in a blaze. It is 75 feet tall. It is over the tree line. We were pretty scared. We were like, this is a lot bigger than we thought. I hope it doesn't get out of hand. We had fire departments from 2 different counties come to check on us. We told them we are okay. Everything's under control. It was not under control. But we had this enormous flame, and we were sitting there just watching it in amazement of how beautiful and how big it was. But what we hadn't done is prepare anything once that initial burn had happened. So we're watching this 75-foot flame, and we say, wow, this is incredible. But within the matter of a couple hours, that had dwindled down to a small flame, and within a couple more hours had dwindled down to just a bed of cooling coals. After a while, it was just charred wood. We had nothing else to throw in. So what I want to challenge us with today is, what are we doing on a daily basis to be able to prepare in these moments of the mundane, in the moments of difficulties? What are we doing to set ourselves up well so that we can have something to throw in that fire? What I want to challenge us with is, I want to have a store shed. I want to have a barn that I slide the door open and there is a stockpile of dry wood that I've prepared for months, for years, so that when that fire starts to dwindle, I can say, oh no, I got plenty. I got plenty. And I can throw it in that fire and that fire will emerge again. But if we don't have anything, how are we going to stoke that fire? So I want to go to Matthew 13:5. So in Matthew 13:5, it talks about a farmer that's throwing out seed. And he throws some of this seed. He says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. And it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But what happened with this is it ended up dying because it didn't have roots that would go down into good soil. And so just like our store shed of wood, we need to have soil that is well prepared, that we're preparing in advance so that we can grow and abound. And while I think that this is mostly talking about hearing the word for the first time, I think it can also be correlated to when we get excited about Jesus, which I believe happens. You know, it happens in worship. It happens when we're talking with someone about Jesus and we get excited and we're like, yes, I am there. But what happens the following Wednesday? What happens the following month? Do we still have that fire? Our relationship with Jesus is not about checkpoints of heightened emotion. It's about a consistent flame in relationship with Jesus. And he wants that for us. And we can have that. But we have to put things in place. So I have 3 practical tools that can allow us to do that. So this first practical tool is community. Y'all, community has been such an enormous part of my life. And the Lord has blessed me so much in that he has given me people that I can surround myself with that are going to push me towards a central goal, and that goal being Jesus. And this should be a treasured position. You don't let just anybody into your community, into your circle. These need to be people who are going to push you towards the center goal of Jesus Christ. Okay? If these people aren't actively pushing towards Jesus, this is not the people that you need in your community. And something else is, we need to have this be consistent, okay? Community is not something that you hop in and hop out of. It is something that you live. Look at the biblical examples that we have of community. The disciples weren't like, let's follow Jesus today, and then tomorrow back, I don't know. No, every single day they were there, day in and day out, pushing each other, spurring each other on to grow in their relationships with Jesus. And this is not just my opinion. This is how Jesus intended it to be. So if we look in Hebrews 10:24-25, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And I love the dig that he takes there, and he says, as some are in the habit of doing. You know, he's kind of like giving you the eye roll, like, I know some of you are doing this. So guys, this is, the Lord intended us to be communal beings. He did not intend us to be alone, but the enemy pushes us to isolation. He pushes us to, when we have those difficulties and we have those dry spells with the Lord, to be by ourselves, and that's not how we were intended. We have to be in biblical community. So whatever that looks like, we have to dive into that and push into that and allow each other to grow. And with that, have consistent checkups. If you're struggling in your prayer life, if you're struggling with a specific temptation, say, hey man, every Monday, let's talk about where we're at with this so that we can spur each other on. Don't leave it up to like, well, maybe we'll talk about it in a month or so. Let's actually do this. If we're going to pursue Jesus with a Bible-believing community, let's actually spur each other on and do this well. And no one is exempt from this. This is everybody who wants to pursue Jesus. So the next way that we can actually prepare well is with scripture. And guys, it has always blown my mind that we have the rule book, I shouldn't say the rule book, the guide of life right here. Okay, we have the book that gives us every answer to eternal life. And I think about it like this. If I approached you this morning and I was like, listen, I have a pill that is going to give you abundant life. You're going to have an everlasting life if you take this pill. How many of y'all would be like, not interested? I do not want this. No, of course not. We would be like, do you have all of them? Because I'll take all of them and I want to give it to my friends and I want to give it to my family. That's what we have in scripture, but we walk by this book day in and day out like it's nothing. This is the answer book for everything that we have, and anything you hear from the pulpit, on the internet, whatever it is, it needs to come from this book, and if it's not, then you don't need to listen to it. So scripture is something we need to dive into, and the enemy is going to throw flaming darts at us, which we're going to talk about here in a bit. We need to be well-equipped. We need to be prepared so that we can actually defend ourselves against that. We need to know that scripture to be able to repeat it back to the enemy. Do y'all know that the enemy knows scripture? He repeated it to Jesus. So if we don't know scripture better, how are we going to defend against his fiery darts? That's tough. So let's do that well. The last thing of how we can prepare well is prayer. And this is the one that I struggle with the most, just to be completely transparent with y'all. But the thing is, y'all, prayer changes things. And the Lord of the universe, the God of eternity, is listening to our prayer. How insane is that? I had it described to me one time that there's two chairs set up in the morning facing each other. And every morning, Jesus is sitting in one of those chairs, and he's just waiting for you to sit down. He's just waiting. And oftentimes, we walk right by that chair. He is waiting for us to sit down and talk with him, y'all. That's all that he wants, is for us to have relationship with him and be obedient to him. But we just pass by that chair. That is so wild. I get super encouraged by Moses, too, because oftentimes I think, is my prayer doing anything? When God was going to smite Israel, Moses prayed, Lord, withhold your hand from them. And he listened and changed it and did not bring his hand down on Israel in that moment. That's insane that the God of the universe listened to a man and said, I honor your prayer, I'm listening, you have expectation that I'm going to move, and I'm going to move. Do we enter prayer with that kind of expectation? Or do we just kind of like haphazardly walk in and talk to the God of the universe? That's wild. So I want to encourage us to dive into that prayer. And for me, it helps me to be kind of scheduled with my prayer. And this is not out of the Bible. This is just something that's helped me. So if it helps you, great. If it doesn't, that's okay. But I schedule out my prayer through Monday's my day of thankfulness, where I do nothing but thank God for everything that I have. And y'all, when you start to pile it up, there's not enough hours in the day to thank God for everything that we have. You start to go through it. It is unbelievable how blessed we are. And let us not fall into the pessimistic mentality of culture to tell us that we aren't blessed, because we are. We are wildly blessed. We're in a room right now listening about Jesus, not fearing for our life, in comfortable air conditioning. We drove here in vehicles. We're well fed. We have an unbelievable amount of blessing in our life. So let us thank the Lord for that. And throughout the rest of the week, I schedule it family, friends, country, ministry. And then I have a day of listening where I just listen to God. How often do we pray and we don't give God the opportunity to respond? You know, we're like, I don't know if God ever answered that prayer. Well, did you give him time to respond? Or did we just pray and kind of move on? So I like to give him the opportunity to be able to respond to me when I ask for all these things throughout the entire week, to just sit and bask in what he has for me, because I believe that he does have something for us. So those three things are the things that I think we can do to prepare well. So to be in constant community, to arm ourselves with scripture, and to be fervent in prayer. So my next point is distractions. So these distractions can be very, very cunning and very witty from the enemy. So I have another story for you, and it involves the same friends as the Christmas tree fire. So hold on to your seats. So we decided that we were going to hike a canyon out in California. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I know nothing about hiking canyons, okay? Very unaware about how you're supposed to do that. But we did have Google, so we looked up how to do this. And it told us to enter into this canyon, and there are going to be arrows in this canyon. And it is going to tell us which direction to go. That's all we had. We are across the country, and we were going to follow these arrows in the canyon, okay? So we enter in into this big gap. So we go in it, and we're looking, and the first arrow is actually pretty evident. You know, it's like I have this big thing out of rocks. It could be spray painted. It could be rocks. It could be anything. We're just looking for arrows, okay? So we start following these arrows, and the arrows become less and less noticeable to the point that we're at a fork, and we're like, which way is the arrow telling us to go? And at that point, my buddy said, hey, here's the arrow. And as I looked down to the arrow that he was looking at, it looked an awful lot to me like bird droppings. Okay, but he said, this is the arrow that we're going to follow. And I said, okay. So we started following this thing. Come to find out, spoiler alert, it was bird droppings. It was not an arrow. We went the wrong way. So we're following this, and we get further and further into this canyon. And before you know it, we are lost, and we do not know where we are. And we're about an hour until dark. And so we start thinking to ourselves, this is not good. We need to figure out how to get out of here. So we kept trying to find different avenues as shortcuts to get back, but we couldn't find it. So we ended up climbing up one of the canyon walls and looking back to see where we could actually get back to. And I remember climbing up and looking back, and it just looked like a maze of tunnels throughout behind me. And I said, I have no idea where we're supposed to go. So we get back down and we talk about it, and we say, the only way that we can figure this out, the only way that we know to get back is to retrace our steps, go back to the central truth that we know, and follow that all the way back out. It wasn't a shortcut. It was going to take us longer, but we knew that this truth was going to deliver us to the end of the canyon. So I am here today. We did find our way out. That was good. So we ended up tracing our way all the way back. But I think that this is oftentimes how alluring distractions can be to us as well, is that we see what we think could be a shortcut. We see what might be alluring in the moment. It might look like we should go into this direction, and we do. And here's the tricky thing. Here's the thing that the enemy does. These distractions don't always look like bad things and aren't inherently bad things. It could be a hobby. It could be a sport. It could be a book. It could be politics. It could be a lot of different things that are pulling your attention away from Jesus. And while they aren't inherently bad things, and while the world might even tell us that they are good things, if they're distracting us from the central focus of God, you are not arming yourselves well for the life in the mundane, for pushing through the mundane into a beautiful relationship with Jesus. And guys, it's exactly where the enemy wants us. So in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Y'all, we read this and we do not take this seriously. If there was a lion roaring coming down this front row right now, there would be an uproar. There would be an absolute freak out happening. But that is what's happening every day with the enemy throwing these flaming darts at us. And I believe he does this through these minute distractions, because if he can make it look like it's a good thing, like it's a righteous thing, but it's taking away from our relationship with Jesus, then he loves it. That's a huge win for him. So we have to understand when the enemy is doing that. And I want to say this, that while those things may look good, like politics, groups, social media, hobbies, whatever it may be, we have to ask ourselves this. How does this glorify Jesus Christ? Does this glorify him well? Does this show people my love, passion, and zeal for Jesus? And is it promoting it? Or is it for me? And we have to be very, very honest with that response, because it's easy for us to dive in and say, well, it's not bad. I mean, I just like to hunt and fish. That's a good thing. Is it pulling me away from my family? Is it pulling me away from being in scripture, being in prayer, being in biblical community? So let's be very honest with ourselves about those distractions. And so that brings us to point three, and I am pumped about point three, okay? I'm very excited about this. Point three is excellence. And I told the 9 o'clock service, I said, I hope you wore your steel toe boots this morning because this might be offensive to us as Christians. But y'all, we are not viewed in culture as Christians, as people that absolutely get after it. We're often viewed as being slothful or passive, okay? And that is not what Jesus has for us. Jesus calls us to pursuing excellence in every endeavor that we have. He gives us that ability, those talents, and allows us to work through that so that we can show him, show people him. And so when we're in that mundane, it's so easy, right? Especially at work, that task that you do day in and day out. What if you attacked that with an excellence to when people looked at it, they were like, why is he getting after it cleaning that toilet? I mean, he is scrubbing that thing to the best of his ability. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what needs to mark us as Christians, as we get after it in excellence because the Lord has given us these talents and these gifts, and we want to show people him through them, everything we do. And so in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. When was the last time that y'all were eating and you were like, I'm going to get after this with a tenacity that glorifies Jesus Christ? I haven't ever done that. But what if we did? What if every single aspect of our life, we took it through the lens of how can I glorify Jesus in this? And what an absolute uproot it's going to do in culture if Christians as a whole start to do that. Seriously, what if every aspect of our life we said, I'm going to attack this in excellence because I know that that glorifies Jesus. We don't fall into the complaining at work. We don't fall into saying that this is that mundane task. I'm not going to actually give it my all. No, we pursue it with an excellence and we say, Lord, just let me glorify you in this. How much more joy would that bring to our day as well? So I'm super passionate about this, guys. This, again, I'm preaching from a point of this is my struggle. This is the thriving in the mundane is what I deal with day in and day out when I feel like I'm not on the mountaintop and I'm not in the valley. I'm somewhere in between, and I want to thrive, and I want to thrive together as a community, as a body of believers. I want to spur each other on and come out to glorify Jesus. So I want to go over our 3 points so we can make sure we hammer them home. So point one is preparation. Are we storing up that wood? If you pulled open your barn of things that you're doing to pursue Jesus well, do you see a stockpile of dry wood that when that flame starts to go down, you can pull out a piece and throw it in the fire? And not only your fire, when you have a stockpile, you get to also throw it into your friend's fire. When your friend's starting to struggle and your buddy that's in community with you, you get to go to your store shed and say, no, I got plenty. I've been putting a bunch in here. When the enemy comes to you with an absolute hailstorm and he sees you roll open your door and he just shudders because he's like, oh man, this guy is prepared. So that we're not running around throwing wet sticks in our fire when it actually matters. We have to be prepared. So point two is distractions. Let's be honest with ourselves, guys. What are the things that are drawing us away from Jesus and pushing us towards a mundane relationship with Jesus? What can we fight actively? Does that thing that we're spending most of our time thinking about or doing, does that glorify Jesus? And we have to be honest with that answer. And number three is excellence. Let us pursue life, every little thing with excellence, to the point that people are like, what is wrong with this guy? Why are they just getting after it? Because they love Jesus and they want to pursue Jesus. They want to honor Jesus well with the gifts that they have. Let that be our reputation. Let them be like, man, those Christians, they get after it. Those guys are freaking tenacious, you know? So let that be our reputation. Let's not settle. So worship team, if y'all want to come on up. So how do we thrive in the mundane? By trying harder? By feeling guilty for not feeling the passion for Jesus? No, we thrive in the mundane by recognizing our need for a Savior. A Savior that wants us to have an abundant life and fall more in love with him every day. I want to say that again. We thrive in the mundane by recognizing our need for a Savior that wants us to have an abundant life and fall more in love with him every day. It's not by trying harder, but it does take action. Okay, I feel like we sit on one of two sides of the camp here. We're either saying, I'm just going to let God throw it in my lap, or we say, I'm going to go out and do it myself, and it's neither of the two. We have to have a reliance on Jesus and an expectation that Jesus is going to move and love him well. So guys, let us run the race well and not settle for a life so beneath what the Father of the universe has for us. He wants an abundant life for us, a life that glorifies him in a way that surpasses all cultural normalcy. Let us push for that and let us not settle. So go ahead and join me in prayer. God, you are so good, Father, that you give a normal, average guy like me an opportunity to speak, hopefully, Lord, to encourage a group of people to grow in you. And I pray that we just do that well as believers, that we continually spur each other on, Lord, that it doesn't have to be from behind a pulpit. It can be in the parking lot. It can be at the grocery store. It can be at work, Father. But that we just spur each other on well to do this life to your glory, Lord. Don't allow us to settle for anything in life, Lord. That's not what you have for us. You don't have average for us. You don't have stale for us. You have abundance for us in you, Father. That is what you have for us. Let us expect that every day. Lord, the enemy wants us to settle. We do not want to settle. We want to love you well, Father. We want to pursue you well. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.